house of Maria Alexandrovna, the first lady in the town of Mordatsov. What a pleasant place Maria Alexandrovna's salon looks. She likes to call her drawing room her salon. A bright fire is burning in the hearth, and Maria is sitting beside it, beaming on Mr. Paul Mozgliakov, who is holding forth on the hearthrug. Very presentable young fellow, this Mozgliakov. From time to time, he glances to the window seat where a young lady is sitting reading. This is Zina, Maria Alexandrovna's daughter. Zina is a beauty. The tea table is in the middle of the room, and Nastasia Petrovna, a resident friend of the family, is presiding over it with smiles. Oh, but the air here. The air. It's shimmering with excitement. We can positively see it around Maria Alexandrovna, like a full-length aureole. About the
reaction I made. Nonsense, Paul. We're delighted you've come back to visit us a fortnight too early, aren't we, Zina? Aren't we delighted?
Oh, yes, Mother.
I'm dash glad, too. You see, I felt
especially just considering whom you've brought with you, Paul.
Divine providence. I can call it nothing else. If you had not set out to visit us this morning, you'd never have come on the dear count in that terrible wayside predicament.
Oh, upside down in his carriage, in the snow. Ooh.
But what a long time he is in his room. I wonder, should I go up? Perhaps he was hurt, after all.
Quite impossible, I assure you, Maria Alexandrovna. Dear old uncle has nothing left to get injured.
What do you mean?
Packs more of himself away under the bed these nights than he puts to sleep on it.
Paul!
You've seen him, dash it. Cleared 80, but got up to look like the figure of a bridegroom on a wedding cake.
The Count has been given eternal youth.
But how did you persuade him to come to us? I mean, he was going somewhere else, was he not, when he turned upside down.
My dear Nastasia Petrovna, one doesn't persuade uncle these days. When I'd sat him the right way up and blasted into him who I was, memory completely gone, you know, I lugged him across to my own sleigh and brought him with me, that's all.
Heaven will bless you for it. 6 years. 6 long years since I set eyes on him.
It's 6 years since anyone set eyes on him.
It's tragic. Shut away in that country house and guarded. That's the only word for it. Guarded by that monstrous market woman.
Stepanida Matveyevna. Monstrous is right. She's head and shoulders taller than me, and as broad as she's long.
You've seen the creature, Paul. You've actually seen her.
I'll say I have. She chased me down the drive with a broom last Easter when I called to say Christ is risen to Uncle.
Oh, you poor boy. My heart bleeds for you. Zina, did you hear that?
What, Mother?
Paul was chased with a broom last Easter when he tried to say Christ is risen to his uncle.
Oh, is the old man an atheist?
Zina, you sit there reading a book and not listening to a word we're saying.
But why is such a creature as Stepanida Matveyevna in the Count's house at all? That's what I want to know.
Planted there by the relatives, sort of nurse, keeper, servant, groom, all in one.
But you're a relative yourself. You're his nephew, Paul.
Sure. I'm not to know. Oh, I call Uncle Uncle, of course, but I'm only dimishly connected through my great-aunt Aglaya, who's dead.
And how did he escape from the monster today?
That much I did get out of him. It seems this Stepanida Matveyevna's mother or father or both started to die in Moscow about 4 or 5 days ago, so she just had to pack her baskets and go. Then dear old Uncle left on his own, took it into his head to visit the hermitage here. He'd heard that one of the monks had started to fly or milk a bull or perform some such miracle.
Divine providence, all of it. When I think what hands the Count could have fallen into in this town.
Anna Nikolaevna's, for example.
Or her newfound friend at the gossip drops, Natalia Mitraevna's.
They both go arsenic green when they know we've got him.
They know it already. What do you expect? I found their two servants snuffing round my kitchen before breakfast. But I must, I really must go upstairs and see what's happening to the Count. Do excuse me, Paul. The servants are being blockish, I know. Excuse me.
And excuse me too, please, both of you.
Oh, you're not going to see the Count as well, Nastasia Petrovna?
No, no. There are a few things I ought to do, and I'm sure you two... Excuse me.
Zina, you're not angry?
No. Why should I be angry?
Because I'm back too soon.
No, I'm not angry, Paul, but you can hardly expect me to be delighted at being taken for a fool.
Taken for a fool?
What else? A month ago you came here and asked me to marry you, and I said no.
But later, Zina, later...
Later, when you went on, I said I would think it over if you would give me a month by myself to do so. And you agreed to that, Paul.
I know.
And now you are back after only 2 weeks.
I just couldn't bear it, Zina. I was living in hell. I drove all night.
Does it mean you want my answer here and now?
No, Zina, no. It doesn't mean that.
Then what? Do you wish me to go on, Paul? To try to thrash this thing out with myself during the next few weeks?
Yes, I do. That is what I want.
All right. But you must promise to leave me alone in the meantime. Because otherwise...
I promise. Zina, I swear.
Quick, he's coming. He's coming down. He's on the stairs. Fresh tea. The samovar. Quick. Where's the stassi on the top? In heaven's name.
Behind you, Mary Alexander.
The samovar. Quick, get it on the boil. The Count simply must... Zina, that book. For heaven's sake, put it under a cushion. If the Count sees a book in the room, he'll swear we're all nihilists.
Count Gavrila, is it really you I am seeing again, dear Count? Tell me, is it really you?
I trust so, dear lady, if I think I'm here.
Of course you are, Uncle. Large as life and twice as natural.
Eh? Oh, it's you, my dear fellow. Always sprouting up like a mushroom. Delightful, delightful.
May I present my daughter, Zina, Count?
Your daughter? Me. Quelle beauté.
When you graced the governor's ball 6 years ago, Count, Zina was most regrettably absent.
Most regrettably. Allow me, mademoiselle, to salute with my lips this exquisite little...
Carry on, Nunky. Floor a bit slippery for knee bending and hand kissing, you know.
Oh, thank you, my dear fellow. My knees, they've lately developed a strange individuality, especially before lunch.
Mine too. Oh, Count, how very much alike we are.
Tea is ready.
This is my cousin, Count, Nastasia Petrovna.
Ah, delighted, delighted.
We have met before, Count. Oh, surely you haven't forgotten me.
Forgotten? Non, c'est impossible. I never forget a lady's face, nor her... No, never.
Zenitska, darling, the Count T.
Really charmant. You remind me, mademoiselle, of a lady long since dead and rotten.
How beautifully you turn a phrase, Count. An art quite lost to the younger generation.
I hope you've recovered from your accident, Count.
My what?
This morning, in your sleigh.
Ah, yes, terrible. And when some strange fellow stuck his head through the window...
That was me, Uncle.
You? Oh, so it was. Do you know, my boy, at first I thought that you were the Archangel Gabriel.
Did you really, Uncle?
Yes, and I was struck with a remarkable idea. An idea worthy of the poet Dante.
What was that?
Eh?
Your idea.
What idea?
When you thought I was the Archangel Gabriel.
Did I think you were the Archangel Gabriel? It must have been the shock to my nose.
The shock to your nose?
Hasn't Pascal got it in one of his pensées? We are ever deceived by our eyes, but never by our noses.
Oh, Count, dear Count, how could you have deprived us of this wit and learning for so long?
How could I? Do you know, my boy?
I think you meant to visit them, Uncle.
Yes, yes, I meant to visit you.
Then why did you refrain, dear Count?
Well, yes, I remember. You all had the foot and mouth disease.
Foot and mouth? Come.
And I was frightened, very frightened. You see, my father died of a disease that he caught from a duck.
A duck?
Don't you mean a parrot, Uncle?
If you say so, my boy. Anyway, he crowed like a cock, night and day for a month. No one got a wink of sleep.
How very terrible.
Yes, a charming daughter, charming. So reminds me of a lady long since...
Come on now, Uncle. We must be off.
Eh? Off where?
To visit the governor.
Oh, what a stimulating idea. Oh, must we go?
Yes, and before lunch. So come along.
All right, all right. Fetch me my harness.
Your harness, Uncle?
Oh, no. That's at home with Stepanida Matveyevna.
Does she put you in harness, Uncle, when you go visiting?
No, not visiting. When I take my morning stroll, a most satisfactory device, Stepanida Matveyevna takes the reins and I can gamble about With or without my knees, if you understand me.
I'm glad you have uttered that name, Count.
What name?
Stepanida Matveyevna. Step... Mm. Your housekeeper.
Oh, it's a name I frequently utter. A most remarkable creature.
Remarkable?
She has greater dimensions than any woman I've ever met, even in Bulgaria.
Come on, Uncle. We must be off.
No, we must, we must. Au revoir, mesdames. Adieu, mon charmant demoiselle. I'll see you in a minute, my boy. I must just go to jot down a thought that has struck me.
Stop it! Stop it, I beg you! A tragedy, not laughable. Change that has been wrought in a vigorous, noble mind. The work of that infernal peasant woman, Stepanida Matveyevna, I'm sure.
Putting him into harness.
That's a waste of it. Criminal waste.
Waste, Mother?
Yes, waste. The loss of his presence and influence on our society. He must be rescued at once. That is our duty.
We should marry him off.
What?
A little bride.
Paul, the joke has gone far enough. Nastasia!
It isn't a joke. Uncle can still marry. I mean, so far, there's no legal obstacle. He's not certified. Right, find him a bride and let her be as frail as Nastasia Petrovna there.
Oh, Paul.
She could boot out this peasant, harness and all.
Paul, be a good boy and go and look after your relative.
Going.
And you're to bring him straight back here after the governor's, remember?
I'll remember. Au revoir, Zina. See you at lunch. That is, if you haven't all caught foot and mouth disease.
If only a bride could be found for him. Well, if the old man were to make a proposal of marriage, as Paul suggests...
What rubbish! The young man is simply a chattering fool.
Indeed. You never seemed to think so before, Maria Alexandrovna.
Well, I think so now. Nastasia Petrovna, go to the kitchen and ask them to get in some champagne for the Count's supper. Nastasia Petrovna?
Champagne? Yes. Yes, I'll tell Nikita to order it now.
Nastasia Petrovna does not go to the kitchen. She's gone the other way along the corridor and is now... Yes, she's going into the room at the other end of it. Now, this used to be an annex to the salon, but it's now locked on that side and used by the family as a box room and dirty linen dump. Nastasia Petrovna is sidestepping the junk with a skill that comes from familiarity. She reaches the locked salon door, removes the key... kneels down and fixes her hungry widow's ear to the keyhole.
Zina, I've been thinking. Seriously thinking.
I hope, Mother, he didn't inspire your thoughts.
He?
Who? Paul. When he spoke just now of finding a wife for that old man.
Paul is a fool. In many ways, not a fool. I see that now. But there, I confess, he spoke sound common sense. A wife should be found for the Count, and without delay... Not, of course, as he was hinting, that lazy parasite of ours, Nastasia Petrovna, but...
But me, Mother? Is that what you're trying to say? But me?
I confess, Zina, if the Count were to make you an offer, I could only feel it would be...
Obscene, Mother! And absurd, too! He never would.
Zina, how can you speak of the Count like that? A man from one of the most aristocratic families in Russia... An owner for 4,000 souls.
A man 4 times my age, a senile cripple. To be pitied, yes, but even to be thought of as a... I know it is just one of your poetic flights, Mother, but I beg you to spare me of any more of them.
My child, have I ever had one thought in my head that was not for your utter happiness? Have I ever?
Maybe you haven't, but your idea of my happiness and my own idea of it never meet.
They net now. This day, this second, Zina, I swear. And if you'll only listen...
I will not listen, Mother, if it's going to be about this Count.
It is not about the Count. Oh, at least very indirectly. Zina, do you recall that Black Tuesday morning 2 years ago when you walked into my bedroom?
Mother, please, Please don't.
And you uttered some of the most terrible words a mother's ear could be called upon to hear. Mama, you said. In those days, you still called me Mama. Mama, I wish to marry the master of the ragged school.
Mother, for God's sake!
And I? Well, you had eyes, you saw. One second I was a smiling, happy woman. The next, a mound of senseless flesh on the carpet. Between the wardrobe and the bed.
Must you bring this up now? Must you?
Yes, Zina, I must, for it is now a matter of life and death. I repeat, a matter of life and death. When I came out of my swoon, I acted like a tyrant, you thought. Ah, yes, I forbade you to see that boy again. And wasn't I right? Didn't he go there and then and besmirch your name before the lowest and the highest in the town?
He had provocation, I think. And besides, he was ill.
Your last remark was right. He was ill. Today, Zina, that boy is dying.
Dying?
Yes, dying.
It's not true. Vasya! Almighty God!
No, Zina! Rush to your Vasya now, and that's the end. That's the way to kill him. I know what I'm saying, and he's seen now.
How did you know? Who told you?
The doctor. Who else? Yesterday morning we met by chance and I asked after him.
What did the doctor say? Oh, tell me what he said.
He said one thing, and one thing alone could save the life of that unfortunate youth. And that one thing is impossible to him, pauper as he is.
What thing?
To go now, at once, to... Oh, I've forgotten the name. But a place on the coast of Spain, where the rich and titled flock for their health, especially consumptives. 6 months in that place, maybe less. And all would be well. But...
Oh, God. And I did it. I made Vasya ill.
No, Zina, you did not make him ill. But you, and you only, can make him well.
I? How?
By marrying the Count, now, without delay. Zina, did you hear what I said? Did you understand?
I can't believe you've said it, Mother. You'd have me trap this old man into marriage, wait for him to die, and in the meantime use his money for saving...
Oh, you innocent! You splendid, darling innocent! There'd be no bad bargain here on the Count's side. None, none. Couldn't be. Look at the facts, Zina, coldly, even callously. What is the Count now? Man's record is in the grave. And what do his remaining days or hours promise him? Degradation. And ever lower degradation under that despicable peasant Stepanida Matveyevna. But married to you, splendid and lovely as you are, and you're feeling a debt to him, wrongly of course, but feeling a debt, what could his remaining days be but an Arcadia?
Mother, you swear it's true.
I? What?
That Vasha's as ill as that.
Don't take my word. See the doctor yourself. See him now.
And that he can be cured?
See the doctor. In 6 months, he said. And remember this, Zina. In little more than that time, you are certain to be a widow. A countess. Rich and free, of course, to marry whom you please.
And there's no other way but this to save Vasya.
None. We are so poor we couldn't even afford to send the cat abroad, as you very well know. So you see, my darling, you would be acting doubly as a sister of mercy.
I'd be acting vilely.
Vilely? To save a life.
Whatever the object. But what would I have to do?
Nothing, my child, nothing. Your mother will do it all. Only give me leave to go ahead.
Very well. To save Vasya. But I warn you, Mother, if it turns out to be too degrading...
Degrading? I'll swear before my icon, Zina, that not one spot of my... My God, who admitted that corncrake? I gave strict orders.
Ah, Monange, I knew you were at home.
Sofia Petrovna! How nice of you to pay a call this morning.
Excuse me, please.
Ah, little Zina.
Oh, excuse me.
Well... Who's been sucking the blood of your chick, Maria Alexandrovna? Pale as my pillow.
Young girls, you know. But I was just on the point of going out myself.
I know you are, Monange. Your sleigh's at the door.
My sleigh?
But minus your count.
The count has gone to the governor's.
The governor was out. But who do you think was waiting at his gates? The lady you've christened Calves Foot Jelly, Natalia Mitrievna, whipped the Count and his nephew out of your sleigh and into her own and off with them to lunch.
Mr. Mudsley!
Ah, oh, that pudding-headed paragon. Join them, of course, giggling away like a thing you wind up. But wait, wait. Calves Foot Jelly is to have the Count to lunch. And who do you think is to have him to dinner? Her stablemate, of course, Anna Nikolaevna.
I think not.
Oh, there's Mon Ange. You're bright. Hook him again. He's yours. Don't let a brace of cattle like that take him from under your nose. Refuse me their houses, both of them. You've heard, I suppose, and the scurrilous joke they put out last week when my horse dropped dead in his shafts, that he'd turned his head and smelt the vodka on my breath. Ha! But I'm suing. I'm suing both Wobbly Guts and her shaker. I'm the daughter of one colonel and the wife of another. I'm not going to be slandered by such trash.
Christoph, that sleigh! Quick, quick, try out in front of it. It don't slacken, you fool, in front, in front!
Oh, yeah, whoa, whoa, come on, you lunatic, you drunken, butter-brained lunatic, what in all hell are you doing?
Silence! You have the Count Gavrila there!
Yeah, I say, Marya Alexandrovna.
Paul, I'm shocked! You promised faithfully to bring him back!
But dash it all, I was...
Count? Count!
Oh, my dear fellow, have you been injured? Your voice has changed.
Dear Count, it is I! Please, step into my sleigh.
What? What? Oh, our plans altered again.
Completely.
Well, I say you can't do this. There'll be a terrible scandal when Natalia Mitrievna gets...
There has been a scandal. You, fellow, ride with your horse and back to your mistress. And tell her that the Count is dining where he first intended, in the house where he's staying as a guest.
I say.
Come on, then.
Well, there. Now she has kidnapped her weak-headed prince. She can start on her plan with him right away. Well, after dinner, maybe. Yes, after dinner. And after dinner, there they are back in the salon, Maria and the Count. But outside in the hall...
Paul!
Nastasia Petrovna.
I've just heard that woman. I'll never speak her name again without being physically sick. I've just heard her getting round Zina to consent to marry that matchstick Count.
Marry my uncle?
Shh! Come into the box from here.
Nastasia Petrovna, are you mad? Poor, what a stink. What's in this filthy hole?
Her filthy linen, some of it. And that keyhole over there. Get down now and put your ear to it.
Eavesdrop? You think I could...
Oh, you fool! I tell you, she's at him now, in there, priming him with drink, working him up. Then Zina will walk in, and you'll be made the laughing stock of the province.
God, it's monstrous. If this is true...
Listen, listen, get down and listen.
As the poet said, is the time for champagne.
Indeed, any time. That delightful lady with whom I lunched earlier...
Delightful? You can't mean Natalia Mitrievna, Count.
Yes, such plentitude there. Not a bone to be seen, so to speak.
Oh, c'est vrai. I must tell you, Count, I simply must. The name that lady is known by in our town, Calves for Jelly.
Calves Foot? What an extraordinary name to burden herself with.
Oh, Count, let us leave these contemptible trivialities and let me speak on a subject that is burning my heart.
Oh, how distressing. Have you ever tried those little round pills?
Come back. Come back to society, Count. It needs you now as the earth needs rain.
Oh, does it really?
You're simply starved of the wit, culture, and breeding that you are so redolent with.
No, I've been told I'm redolent.
You must break. Forgive me saying this, Count. You must break from that tyrannous peasant who is now ruling your house.
But Stepanida Matveyevna's extremely useful. Gives me my bath, you know.
Dear Count, would not a young wife perform such a service? And with a singing heart.
A young wife?
That is the answer, I'm convinced. You, who have swallowed the elixir of youth, must marry again.
Yes, I frequently feel I've swallowed a youth. I mean an elixir, but again, sometimes I feel... Well, my knees.
Ah, those knees. Those aristocratic knees. They are no two barometers of age, Count. None. And even my daughter Zina, Count.
That exquisite child?
In whom youth burns it like a forest fire.
Does it burns?
Even her knees.
Her knees?
I'm not unfamiliar with that well-bred weakness.
Merciful heavens.
But mark you, Count, there is no defect there perceptible to eye or touch. Zina's knees would grace the Venus de Milo. A mother shares such visions only with a husband, does she not?
Were I such a mother?
You admire my daughter, Count?
Oh, from the first glimpse, El Maravi.
As you have her.
I beg your pardon?
Count, it is not a woman who is sitting on this couch beside you.
No? What is it, then?
A plenipotentiary. This morning in this salon, Zina took one look at you.
Did she really?
And she was refused 9 high-bred offers of marriage, found her soul split by your air of piosa.
Split?
From top to bottom, split. And now I, a disinterested messenger, must put it to you. If she, in her burning beauty, were to offer you herself as mentor, nurse, wife, what would you say?
Nothing.
Nothing, Count?
Nothing. I would fall upon my knees and offer her back everything.
Ah, Count, so you shall. She is sitting now alone in the servants' quarters awaiting the ring of this bell. In half a minute you will see her framed in that doorway.
Oh, what a picture.
Indeed, Count.
The Princess Nyinskaya.
Who?
A double. A very double. The Princess Vera Nyinskaya. Dead and rotten these 40 years.
Oh.
Swallowed a horsefly out riding one day and went out like a light.
How tragic. Zina?
Her very image.
Zina, Count Gavrila would like to speak to you. Would you not, Count? Would you not speak?
Speak? Speak? I'll fall upon my knees.
Mother, for God's sake, don't let me. Be careful, dear Count. Let me assist, though I confess my own knees. And Zina's, too. Yes, yes. Gently.
Oh, ma belle Chatelaine, you are her image, her image.
You would ask for her hand, would you not, Count? Her hand?
Yes, yes, I ask for your hand, your kneecaps, everything.
Zina, there, she gives it, Count.
Her little fingers, too. I am back again in that shooting lodge. The prince dead drunk in the porch. Vera and I. Saddle soap and kneecaps. Oh, I feel dizzy.
Mother, he's ill. Let me assist you, dear Count.
Call my fellow.
Lean utterly on me.
Yes, yes. What bliss.
No, this way. That's the cupboard door. And the marriage will be soon?
Oh, at once, tonight, after I've had my rest.
I'll put you to rest myself, Count. It's a little premature for Zina yet.
Yes, yes. Adieu, ma belle.
Steady, dear Count. Lean on me. What?
Yes, yes. What premature bliss. Her very image. The very image of Vera Nyinskaya.
Paul, you were listening?
So that's what you are. That's what you are. God, I heard the tale about the beggar Usher, but this...
How dare you speak to me like that?
How dare I? You've led me on.
Led you on?
Come back in a month, in a fortnight, and I'll let you know if you're good enough to marry me. What else do you call that?
You're quite right. I did say that. My life here had become hell, and whatever kind of a fool you appeared on the surface, I still had hopes that underneath you... Oh, what's the use? Goodbye, Paul. There is nothing more to be said. Goodbye.
Oh, Zina, I just wanted to ask you...
Mother, please let me pass. Oh, let me pass!
Paul, my dear friend, what are you doing here?
I've heard it, madam. Every syllable. I've heard it.
Who opened that box room door? Oh, I see. I've long been aware I was harboring a viper in my bosom.
You call Nastasia Petrovna a viper?
Please,
you.
Sit down, Paul.
Maria Alexandrovna, you have made me a laughingstock in the eyes of half the world.
I suppose that is how it must appear to you.
Appear? If I'd gone to my godfather's tonight as you advised me, the old man had started to feel my neglect, my duty to look after my inheritance.
If you'd gone to your godfather's, Paul, you'd have heard later, openly and cleanly, all that filtered to your ear through that keyhole.
I beg to doubt it.
But since you stooped your ear to that, I've only one thing to add.
Oh, spare me nothing.
Zena loves you to distraction.
What? What did you say?
Zena loves you, Paul, to distraction. She has told me so.
You sit there and say that Zena, after what I've just been listening to...
What did she say?
Eh?
I asked you, what did you hear Zena say through the keyhole? Not a word. She was as silent as a statue.
She played her part anyway. Played her part. Gave her hand.
Oh, yes, she gave her hand and gloated over her victory. You no doubt read that in her countenance when you came bursting in. Or did you find her instead in tears? Nay more, ravished with grief.
Yes, she... Yeah.
Yes, that is how she is triumphing, Paul.
But why then in heaven's name? Why is she going to marry him?
Sit down.
Maria Alexandrovna, I'm dazed. You always said you were on my side, professed yourself my friend.
And I was never so much your friend, Paul, as when I sat on this couch and persuaded the Count. Now, you shall hear the truth, utterly unadorned. Zena loves you, yes, but first she must marry the Count.
Why?
Because he is rich and distinguished, and when he expires... and I know none as mortal as he at the moment, she will hold sway in the highest society.
You can sit there and tell me...
The truth unadorned. She must also marry the Count for his own sake, to save him from that vile peasant who keeps him now on a leash.
Sister of mercy.
Do not mock till you have heard all, I beg you. Lastly, she must marry the Count for the sake of you whom she loves.
Will you explain, please?
You're a man of family, Paul, undeniably so.
Thanks.
But what's your inheritance? From your father, nothing. From your godfather, much. If he does not remarry. But our merchant is still in his 50s and as healthy as a toad. And rumour has it...
Oh, don't beat about the bush. Say it out. I'm to be flung on the dunghill to make way for the happy pair.
No, Paul. You are to join them.
Join them?
Yes, travelling companion and dear, dear friend of the family. What an exalted role yours will be. I see you indeed as a beautiful blending of St. John Chrysostom and that handsome French poet Victor Voltaire.
If you imagine I could ever consider...
And how Zena will glow to see you in that role. Of course, you'll go abroad at once. The Count's health demands it. And the intimacies of travel. Have you thought? She drops a glove in her coat, say. Both of you stoop to retrieve it. Eyes meet. Souls have mated. Oh, the Count is seized with a weakness, calls for restoratives. You both rush to the door. It's a little narrow. For a moment you're pressed together. Eyes meet. Souls have mated.
Look here,
And of course you'll be thrown together completely for vast periods of time. You two young people, while the Count is occupied with his age, his ailments, and his artificial accessories. But far be it from me to counsel wrong. After all, I am a mother. And then, Paul, the end.
What end?
I see it like a beautiful icon. The Count lies expiring on his bed, Zena on one side, you on the other. He has joined your hands, and a look of blissful gratitude lights up his face for the joy you have both afforded him in his last few weeks. Oh, Paul, Paul, how could you destroy all this?
Destroy?
When you burst in just now, you attacked Zena, did you not? More like a savage beast than St. John Chrysostom and Victor Voltaire. I could hear your voice upstairs.
What have I done?
Irreparable harm, I fear. Though her love for you may still live fathoms beneath the surface, yet Zena, being what she is, will never trust you again. And most certainly never as a travelling companion.
I'll find her. I'll explain at once.
Yes, do. And finish it all. Oh, you foolish, foolish child. She's just told me she loves you. She'll guess I passed it on. And now you're going, armed with this knowledge, to bludgeon her.
You know her pride.
Then what am I to do in heaven's name? Oh, what a fool I've been.
Perhaps, yes, perhaps I can speak on your behalf later.
You would.
But I dare not tonight. Tomorrow, yes, or maybe the day after.
What shall I do till then?
Leave us, Paul. Leave us. Go at once. That will be best. Go to your godfather's. Yes, kill two birds. We should never be ashamed to do that. It means doing double good. I'll send your things on after you.
But, Zina, you will explain I love her madly.
Oh, of course. And because of this mad, manly love, you attacked her. It's logical. And she'll see it like that in a few days' time.
Maria Alexandrovna, how can I thank you? And after the way I spoke to you, too.
Shh, my boy, go now. I'll send your things on. Then, in a day or so, arrange all with Zina. But remember, you are going to play the loftiest role. St. John Chrysostom and Victor Voltaire. Wait, wait. Let me make the sign of the cross over you. Now, my son, go.
What am I getting out of all this? Exactly what?
A halo, Paul, and a poet's wreath. St. John Chrysostom and Victor Voltaire.
A fool, she called me.
Zina spoke in heat.
She was right. That's what I am.
No, no.
And the other?
Maria Alexandrovna.
Lies as she draws breath.
True, but think of...
No, by God, that brace of bitches won't get away with this. No.
Name. Blessed heavens, Anna Nikolaevna.
And Natalia Mitrievna, old calf's foot jelly, yoked enemies of Maria.
Dear Maria Alexandrovna.
Dear Maria Alexandrovna. And to what do I owe this unexpected pleasure, ladies?
Zinaida, darling.
Good evening.
But you're pale as a corpse.
You are. Still a beauty. But a corpse. Thank you, I'm perfectly well.
Darling, you must see the doctor. Consumption's so rife just now in our province.
I'm so infectious. Half the children, I'm told, at the ragged school
are... May I ask once more, ladies, to what I owe the pleasure of your visit?
Oh, surely you can guess.
You're so good at guessing.
I confess I cannot.
The entertainment.
What entertainment?
What entertainment, she says. 3 months ago, weren't we getting up a concert for the poor?
And weren't you our president?
And now the governor himself has been saying we ladies do nothing but gossip. Oh, we can't have that. We just can't.
So here we are. Before the Count departs.
What's the Count got to do with it?
Oh, surely you know. He's crazy about amateur dramatics. He used to have a private theatre on his estate 40 years ago.
It's still there. He told me today when he came to lunch. Curtains, scenery, and even costumes.
So he must be our patron and lend us things. He simply must.
Oh, we'll plan it all tonight.
Yes, Luisa Karlovna and Varvara Pavlovna are coming along too.
Oh,
and
good, the first thing to do
is to make... Now the room is a singing aviary of ladies, each with a different plumage, but the same expression. A smiling, savage expectation. Unnoticed, Mr. Mozgliakov has walked into the hall and straight up the stairs.
Are you quite well, Uncle?
I don't know. I've been asleep.
So I noticed.
And I've had a most extraordinary dream.
Really?
I was with Vera Nyanskaya again. She died most tragically, you may recall, some 40 years ago after swallowing a fly.
Mm.
Oh, mon ami.
What is it, Uncle?
I think I've proposed.
Proposed? To whom?
That exquisite creature, the daughter here. Or was it only in my dream?
Your dream?
She's the very image of Vera, you know.
In that case, Uncle, I'm positive you proposed in your sleep.
You are?
Yes, Uncle.
Why?
Because if you'd done it while you were wide awake... What would your relatives say?
Oh, mon ami.
Two words only, Uncle. Two words. Lunatic asylum.
They said that once before when I...
I know. Then Stepanida Matveyevna was found to look after you and you were saved. But in the light of all this, Uncle, could you ever have proposed to that girl wide awake?
No, 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 never.
You confused her in your dream with Vera Nyanskaya, that's all.
That's all? I've a flair for confusion.
All the same, Uncle, you'd better take care when you go downstairs.
Take care?
Yes. You see, you did have a lot of champagne to drink, Uncle, so you may have said something.
Yes, yes, I nearly always say something.
But here's the point, Uncle. This girl, Zinaida, has a past.
You amaze me. A past?
Got mixed up, I'm told, with some schoolteacher oaf. And now she and her mother will stop at nothing to find her a husband.
But how vulpine.
So fix it clearly in your mind before you go down, Uncle. You only proposed in your dream.
Indeed, yes, my dream. I'll explain to them carefully. They'll be delighted.
Good evening, Maria Alexandrovna.
Pom!
I've been upstairs with Uncle.
The Count?
The Count! The Count! Look, darling Count! What a surprise! And we were told you were fatigued.
Ladies, ladies.
We've all come especially to see you, Count, and crave your help.
My help, dear lady.
Please, please, my uncle's only come to say goodbye.
Yes, ladies, goodbye. I'm on my way now to, where to, my boy?
The Hermitage, Uncle.
Oh, that's it, the Hermitage, where a cow levitated in its byre last week.
No, Uncle, a monk in his cell.
Oh, yes, yes, a monk in his cell. But he milked the cow in midair, did he not?
No, at both ends, Uncle. You told me so yourself.
Oh, that's it. I must positively see this holy man, obtain his formula, and revolutionize my dairy.
Oh, Count, you are priceless.
He is joking, of course. Count, dear Count, I trust you rested well.
Oh, delightfully.
I myself placed in your bed 3 warming pans.
What prodigality.
Ah, they must have inspired my dream. I'm always inspired to dream by a warming pan.
Oh! A dream? I'll wager it was a romantic dream. You are such a Lothario, Count.
You guessed right. Romantic.
You were on your knees, Count, before some beauty.
A Sibyl, a prophetess.
Her name, Count, her name.
Oh, yes, do tell us her name. Yes. Where was she from?
The Princess Nyanskaya. Dead and rotten these 40 years.
I know. My grandmama used to speak of her. She was killed by a fall from a horse, was she not?
No, 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 no. Choked on a horsefly. I was present. I alone. And upturned her and shook her and thumped her. Oh, no good. No good. Ah, my dear child, you are her very image.
Zina is?
Her very image. Permit me, my child, to kiss your hand.
Then Zina must have figured in your dream as well.
How did you guess?
You knelt to her, too?
I confess.
Oh, you Faust! You Casanova! 2 ladies in 1 dream.
Oh, my child, wild tigers wouldn't have drawn your name from me if they had not guessed.
But, Count, it wasn't a dream.
It's true. It's true the Count has proposed to my daughter.
Yes, madam, in his dream.
No, not in any dream. Ladies, ladies, silence, please. The moment has arrived to speak. Our dear, dear guest has made it plain by subtle allegory, by reference to a dream, that he wants it so. I understand, dear Count. Yes, yes. He has made my daughter, Zinaida, a proposal today. In fact, in truth, and not in any dream.
Oh. I must kiss you, Count. I positively must.
Oh, ladies, ladies.
But when, Count, and where? You should not delay 1 second.
We have not fixed the time or place yet, have we, Count?
No, no, one doesn't fix the time or place in a dream.
Dream? Dream? You're still on about that dream.
He most certainly is, for it was a dream.
Oh. Do you mean by confusing him?
Aye, madam. It was you who confused him, I think, by making him drunk today.
Drunk?
Well.
Count, I have now explained. You proposed to my daughter in waking truth.
Yes, 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 in waking truth. I confess, when I woke up, I thought I'd proposed to 2 ladies in my dream, but now
there was no dream, Count.
No dream? But how was it then that I knelt to Vera, who's been dead and rotten for...
You knelt to my daughter Zinaida, Count.
Yes, 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 her too. A double ecstasy in my dream. And all inspired by those warming pans.
It was not a dream.
I beg you to realize, Count, we are a genteel family.
Of course, genteel.
Who won't be made a monkey of for any count, exalted though his house may be.
Oh, good heavens, no, you must never be made a monkey of.
You proposed to my daughter in no dream, but on that spot, on this carpet, before my two eyes. And you use such extraordinary words, you cannot now gainsay them.
No, I cannot gainsay
it. You said, and these were your very words, you said, I ask your hand and your kneecaps too.
Kneecaps?
That is the extraordinary expression you use, and you cannot now deny it.
Oh, my dear Paul.
Uncle?
If I said kneecaps...
You most certainly did.
Uncle, remember?
Then it was truly a dream.
What?
I had begun, I confessed, to be a little doubtful.
Kneecaps! Explain away your kneecaps if you can.
Yes, calm yourself, dear lady.
Yes, calm yourself, Maria Alexandrovna. I'm sure the dear Count has a very simple explanation. Go on, Count. Kneecaps?
Yes, if I mentioned them, it certainly was an exquisite dream. For you see, when Vera Nainskaya swallowed that horsefly...
Merciful God, if you mention that creature again.
Shh! Go on, Count. When she swallowed the horsefly...
I alone was at hand to upend her. But I found, upside down, there was nothing at all I could grip on. Ladies, you know, in some positions... But then, blessed guidance, I discovered her kneecaps, those exquisite knobs, and I clapped my hands over them, comme ça, and pressed her precious calves to my chest as I...
Air! I'm choking! Air! Zina, for pity's sake!
Fainting now to save her face.
Zina!
Stop it, Mother, stop it at once! I've had enough of this farce and this filth!
Zina! What are you...
I'm going to tell the truth.
My child, for the sake of Christ.
The Count was made drunk, and it was in that state he proposed to me.
Faving! She's sick in mind.
Someone sick in mind, but I rather My think... My mother did it because of me. And I allowed her because... Oh, never mind. I was as much to blame and more to blame. I allowed it.
Revelation.
Oh, you little fool.
We wronged you, Count, cruelly. Now, I can only beg forgiveness. On my knees.
Oh, no, child. Please get up.
But I swear I would have kept my bargain to the death. As your wife, I mean. I'd have been everything, anything, I swear.
Oh, don't distress yourself, mademoiselle. Please get up.
And you, Paul, I treated you badly. Very well. Now you've repaid me with interest. And if that pleases you...
No! Oh, God, I've been a swine, Zina, a swine. It was all my fault. But I'll make it all right, I swear. Listen, everyone. Listen. It was I who
first... Yes, it was you, you pig. It was you. Oh, I could open your cheeks with my nails. I could... Oh, hold her! Hold her!
What a lady!
Where is this dowager?
Sofia Petrovna!
Drunk as a boyar!
Out of my way!
Leave him! You get out of my house! You're drunk.
What you are, madam, would rot my tongue to say. So, your chick's to couple with the matchstick prince, and I'm not even asked to the betrothal.
Let me get to the bell. The bell!
I that brought you the news that he was coming. And that lady you christened Calves Foot Jelly.
That's me!
Ran off with him this morning. But what do I care? I'm a colonel's daughter. Keep your reception. Keep your mannequin count.
Merciful heavens, what people.
Oh, don't you what people me, you clickety-clackety idiot.
Get me out of here, my boy. Get me out. They're worse than the fishwives of Genoa.
How dare you, Count, call us names like that.
But you call yourselves names. Crow's Feet Jelly.
Oh, you'd insult me too, would you, you glass-eyed goat?
Quelle société. Take me away, Paul.
We're as good as you, Count.
Better. What are you, anyway?
Your guest, madam, at least.
Glue, butt stuck together from wigs to boots.
Mother!
Call that hair!
Merciful God! Madam, return me my wig!
That's him! That's your princely king! Not enough buttock, they say, to sit on his chamber pot without medical aid! Drip him and see!
Lady! Oh, Mina! Take me out, my boy, Mina!
Maria Alexandrovna.
This is an outrage. Get out.
You're the first to know. The first to know.
Get out. Grishka, see this gentleman out of my house. Grishka.
My uncle's dead. The Count is dead. Just after I got him to the monks last night, he collapsed. Inflammation of the brain. Due to moral shock, the doctor said. Moral shock. Ha ha! Your servant, madam.
Maria sits down again, but does not take up her needlework. To whom can she turn? It is a little difficult. Last night, not an hour after the bacchanalia in the salon, a woman, dressed in the meanest black clothes, came to the servants' quarters and asked for Zenaida. A maid fetched her. A word was spoken, and Zina snatched up one of the servants' cloaks and followed the woman. They went across the town and into a house, or rather a hovel, where Vasya, the consumptive schoolmaster, the woman's son, lay dying. Oh, no jaunt to Spain or anywhere else could have cured him. An hour ago this morning, Zina left the hovel and walked home. Just what had happened in there? Well, from the petrified face, we might hazard this much. The dead man gave her a keepsake for life. His despair, his hate, and, of course, his love. Let another night come over her, too, and bring what comfort it can. A new morning, and our Count is going home. Back from the monastery where he arrived too late to see the wonderful cow. Back to his own estate for burial. His way lies happily straight through our town and past the front door of his last hostess on earth. Oh, what a cortege. The town has turned out almost to a man. Monks from the monastery, local clergy, and the Count's own relatives. A severe group this. Walking ahead of everyone, and just behind the bier, is a great giant of an archimandrite. A relative too, no doubt. But he seems more like... Good heavens. No, it's not a priest. It's not a man. Of course. It's Stepanida Matveyevna, the Count's body servant. Her great frame is bowed, and her old face is hacked in living grief.
Mother, come over here.
Draw that curtain. Draw it! Are you mad?
Look! There, Mother, there! There he is. What's left of him?
Zina.
In that. Turn your head away, Mother, and I'll twist it back. Shut your eyes and I'll prise them open. Look! Look there! What we murdered!
No, no!
Murdered, Mother! He might have lived for another half hour or another 100 years, but that doesn't matter. We murdered him!
No!
And look, Mother. That great peasant walking blind. She must be the one who gave him love. And life. The one you reviled.
Draw that curtain. I can't bear. They're all staring.
Let them stare. They said you should have knelt to the open coffin to beg forgiveness. They were right.
Zina, you... Zina. You frightened me.
I'm glad. I'm glad I frighten you, Mother, for neither God nor hell has done so before. And that's how it shall be from now on.
Zina.
That's how it shall be.
That is how it shall be.